Hey, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Hey, if you're an embittered crone, Menopause the Musical is coming. Call Ticketmaster for details. Portland Center for the Performing Arts.
Notice the circle part.
Oh, men love it too. Lie. Men with no spines, whose testicles are kept in a dice bag somewhere, love it too. Men who were dragged there by their bitter, shrieking, shrewish wives. The Off-Broadway read... Never mind. Off-Broadway is like when they talk about indie media. Off-Broadway sensation comes to Portland. Menopause the Musical. They've registered as a trademark, by the way, so that, you know, like, for the billions of people that want to sign up to use the word menopause to, like, sell something exciting. The hilarious... Oh, God. God, this makes me want to stab out my own eyes with a brooch. The hilarious celebration of women. First of all, anything that's a celebration of women is dumb. And you know that that's true. It's like when they talk about a very important film. Anytime you have to tell me that something is important or a celebration or empowering or life-affirming, you know that it's bad.
Boring.
The hilarious celebration of women and the change. Who wants to sit and watch a thing about menopause? It's a woman getting all cranky and sweaty for a year.
My mom's going to that.
Really? Is she going through menopause?
Yes.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a lot of fun. Your dad's got to be hating it.
No, before menopause was even worse. She was insane.
Oh, yeah. Your dad wants to cut her head off with an axe.
Is she listening right now?
No, she's in Bremerton.
Is she posing? She posing in a picture somewhere with a vibrator? I'm sorry.
Oh, that was uncalled for.
On like three different levels. No, I'm just saying. My mom went through menopause.
No.
Let's all pose with vibrators. We should totally do that.
The new Rick Emerson Show picture.
You got one?
No, I don't.
Oh, me either.
At the next listener party.
No.
Who wants to win a Twinkie?
Okay, we've got to get a vibrator.
Doesn't Autumn still work at Fantasy Video?
Autumn, the porn clerk, probably. Let's all pose with vibrators for our new MySpace page. What do you think?
Okay.
And then when somebody gets uppity about it, I'll say, no, it's nothing wrong with it. What do you mean it makes me look like a hoe? All right, whatever. But listen to this. Listen to this, though. The hilarious celebration of women and the change. And again, I don't mean to mock menopause. I don't have to go. It's like having a period. I don't have to do it. So, you know, I'm glad I couldn't make it. But my mom went through that, and she was just the biggest bitch for like a year. And I love my mom. My mother's a saint. But... God damn, she was unpleasant to be around. It sounds like a bad sitcom. Opening all the windows in the house at 2 a.m. It's so hot! It's like December. Hot flashes. It's like angry at everybody all the time.
That is so my mom. Yeah, she's just really hot constantly.
Totally
like screaming at everyone.
And just all, can I have dinner? Make it yourself! You know,
you don't appreciate me!
Working my fingers to the bone! You know, should have had my tubes tied! And it's just like a whole lot of Jesus. That was when my mom went through menopause, that was the period of time when she told us the following during one of her thrice daily breakdowns. She said, you know, I love you kids. I wouldn't get rid of you, but I should have become a nun. And then she like stomped out and slammed the screen door. But here's the most ringing endorsement, by the way. Hilarious. You'll love it. Go see it, says Joy Behar of The View. So there, in case you... And into even the theaters...
If it was Star Jones, maybe, but I don't know.
Even child, would have to start with that, though. It would have to have that sassy black voice of the South wisdom that she's known for. Child, even the place sounds uninteresting. At the Dolores Winningstad Theater. Dolores Winningstad is one of those women who'd be on the Flintstones, you know, with like the huge, you know, like a necklace that runs the social club that Wilma wants to be part of. Well, don't ever see that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Friday. Oh, wait, let me just read this. This is what Don Geronimo would call a feel-good story.
Yeah.
Dateland, Chicago. A man who spent 12 years in prison for murder before a new DNA testing exonerated him was killed in a hit-and-run as he walked out of the city south side a week after being let out of jail.
Part two.
Oh, okay. Part two. Sarah, can we have a Darwin watch open for this?
I believe so. That would
yes.
be
Let's,
fitting.
Let me just, I'll just read this one. Here's your Darwin watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't!
I ate all my caps.
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Another one bites the
heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
Here's your Darwin Watch, Dateline Denver. A 17-year-old fulfilling a dream to learn rodeo died after a horse rolled on top of him during his first bucking bronco ride. Stuart Mazanek died Wednesday from severe organ trauma and internal bleeding 4 days after the accident. It was his first and last ride, says his mother, queen of the obvious, Pam Mazanek, was trying to get off the bronco after finishing his very first ride when he became caught in the rigging around the horse's neck. The animal tripped, staggered, and landed on top of him.
Oh.
After being taken to a Denver hospital, Mazanek managed to speak despite a broken jaw.
Ouch!
The first thing he told his mother was, "Mom, I'll be all right." By Wednesday, his body had begun to fail and life support was removed. "People sometimes forget what a rough sport it is," said one observer. But for Stuart, the one thing he always wanted to try ended up being the one thing that killed him.
Thank you.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
I'm going to put you on the ground and just start jabbing something into your testicles. Ride your ass around. See how much you like it. You know? All right, there you go. Can you blame the horse? You're sitting there, you're eating your grass, trying to have... Guy jumps on top of you, starts kicking you in the junk. It's making you run around. Wouldn't you try to kill that thing? Fly lands on you, you swat it away. All right, we're going to get to Scott Daly here in just a moment. For once, we won't give him 2 minutes at the end of the show to try to plug all of his stuff, which is that. But we'll talk about the, here's what's coming up this hour. We'll talk about the 10 most anticipated films of the summer, which I've got lurking around here somewhere. We've also got tickets to give away to Candidates Gone Wild, featuring Sarah Dillon and her butt. They will be,
Byron did enough of that.
But you see how I can't do it?
You tried, though.
If I was Byron Beck, I'd be able to. Byron Beck from the Willamette Week and Sarah Dillon will be co-hosting Candidates Gone Wild this coming Monday night at the Roseland.
We had our dress rehearsal last night.
Was it fabulous?
It was very exciting.
This is when I called. This is fantastic. I called you last night because I had these pants that I was unsure about.
Are those the ones left behind?
No, they were not.
Okay.
No, I like these. I like these though. These jeans.
They were. He actually called me to ask if I remembered a pair of pants that he was wearing on Monday and if I liked them or not.
I was unsure about them. Well, not like I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't want to be some other guy who, claims he knows how to dress.
Will people be staring at your pants on Monday for some reason?
No. No, this has nothing to do with Monday. No, you're making the story way too complex.
Oh, I see.
I bought some... Okay, look, I got to tell the story real briefly. I was at the Gap, which is how all my stories start, because I am lame and white.
And you're bought so some sad. Pants.
Where am I supposed to shop?
After walking my poodle. And contemplating yet again, should I buy a trio?
Yeah, totally. A-holes. So I just picked up a Frappuccino and I was going to the Gap, hoping they could validate my parking. So I'm at the Gap and I try on some jeans. And I'm in the, and it wasn't just me. Laura was actually, she ducked into the dressing room. She's like, yes, those look good. I bought some jeans. They look like kind of this really sort of a washed out blue. They look kind of cool. I take them home. Get them in a different light. There's something deceptive about that Gap dressing room lighting. I realize this makes me sound not only flaming, but also white and lame and colorblind. But it makes me sound like Stan Marsh's dog. But I get home and I put them on and they're no longer blue. I got them home and they'd somehow turned gray.
They're not blue.
It wasn't just me. Laura thought they were blue too. Get them home. They've become gray. Look at the tag. Yes, gray. And they're this curious thing called sand washed. What they really looked like to me is acid washed, though, and I just couldn't. The guy at the Gap is like, no, this is the line they use, by the way, everywhere. I figured this out. When you buy anything, here's what they say. No, I have one of these myself, actually. And, I like it a lot. Doesn't matter what you're buying. What is this? I'm buying head cheese. No, I have some of that myself at home. It goes great with the game on Sundays. You know, or whatever. I'm buying the pants. This guy comes out, he's like, no, I have some of those myself, sir. They go well with everything. And in his head, he's just going, this a-hole will buy anything I tell him to. He can't dress himself. He's a clown. I basically need Garanimals to figure out how to leave the house correctly. The guy says, they look fine. Me, It's when you go into the Gap, it's like the Jedi mind trick, though. They've got something about those gray jeans look fantastic. They will go with all solid colors and prints. Me, these gray jeans are fantastic. Can I? I would love to apply for a Gap card. You know, it's just like buying it all. So I called Sarah last night. I'm like, do you remember those gray jeans I wore on Monday? And she's all like, busy doing. She's like, no, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know whether to return them or not. I have no independent thought. And in the background, I hear Byron Beck from the Willamette going, what is he calling about? And you're like, he's calling about jeans. And Byron just sort of, you know, like gives it like a, you know, like a Kiff-esque sigh.
That was kind of cool because right when you called, we were standing on the stage of the Roseland, right where the Yeah Yeah Yeahs had just played a sold-out show.
So you're
going to
be a star on Monday.
No, I'm
going to get too big for this show. You're going to get big, forget your friends, leave us all behind.
No. It's just a little... We're just talking at the beginning and, like, at the end.
No. So, anyway, so go see that on Monday. Byron Beck, Sarah Dillon, Candace Conway. We got tickets, though, we'll be giving away later on. We'll talk about the 10 most anticipated films. We'll bring on Scott Dowling in just a minute. Here's Tim Riley at the City Disc.
Didn't we already play his sounder?
No, we did not.
At the City Disc.
That was last time. From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents a City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. A retired New York school teacher is fighting Cablevision over an $1,100 bill for porn and gangster rap. 62-year-old Claudia Lee of Yonkers insists she never ordered hours of Playboy programming and multiple viewings of rappers Tupac Shakur and Busta Rhymes. Cablevision says Lee may not have ordered the adult programs, but somebody in her home did.
February 8th, 12 hours of Playboy, four times. There's only 24 hours in a day.
Oh, my God.
And as you're watching it, not, you know, you're staying up all that time, it does not make any sense.
I love this woman.
Claudia says it isn't her that ordered those programs. It was someone else in the house.
But nobody here but me. That's the only explanation. Which is a bunch of junk. I've asked them repeatedly to check my wires. They will not even come and check my wires.
I love
her. She does admit she was visited by her 81-year-old mother who is not into porn.
Come
check my wires.
I told... Myron came out and started fighting with the handyman, and I told him you can't because then they're not going to hook it up. And my locks is all stale. That's fantastic. I'm just going to play that over and over again.
Nobody's here but me. That's the only explanation.
She's the new Chinese woman.
Which is a bunch of junk.
And she lives in Yonkers, which is, I don't even know where Yonkers is. I couldn't even tell you. Doesn't matter. Well, but we've all, there's a grandkid involved. They're always, look, here's something I'll admit to. Mm-hmm. When I was about 15, 14, 13, something like that, we moved my grandparents, and it was in Portland. My grandparents moved from... let me see if I get this right. From Markham to Silverton, or Silverton to Markham, from one small town to another.
Where's Markham?
It's that way.
Okay.
It's out there. It's by like Malala. Not quite as bustling as Malala, though.
Mixed a lumbago and Buttville.
Did you say lumbago and Buttville?
There is a Buttville out there. I've seen the sign for it in Canby. Buttville. There is such a place.
Are you sure it's not Butteville?
It's spelled Buttville.
My story.
Somebody must be listening. You bet somebody from Buttville is listening right now, and they think we're laughing at their town.
We are laughing at their town. It's like, okay. Okay.
Well, let's move along to our second story.
I'm not even going to tell my story. Basically, the upshot is,
yes.
My grandparents were moving from Buttville to wherever.
And you stopped to buy a pair of pants.
This is at the height of the, this is at the height of the late 80s, craze when all the 900 numbers, all the phone sex lines were out and you didn't have to use a credit card or anything. You just called the 900 and billed it directly to your phone. And it was like, so I'm like, hi, I'm a cheerleader. And I was like 14 and I totally called a whole bunch of them. And it's like I was still too young and stupid to even know what you were supposed to do. Like, it was all just some recording. And so I would get all nervous and hang up. Like, I'd be like, hello, 900, you know, ask for ass. And I would just be like, ah, and I'd just hang up. But then I would just call back again, like, 10 minutes later, you know, and she would...
Got a little braver.
Yeah, she would just go, hello, ask for ass, and clam, hang up again. Did like 50 times. Like, a month later, my grandpa, someone has been calling erotica services. Someone has been calling blue phone numbers. And me, I don't know how that happened. I gotta go. You know, it's totally running home. Buttville. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's a follow-up to a story we had earlier this week.
The woman spanked at work gets $500,000.
Fantastic.
Yes, that saleswoman who was spanked in front of her coworkers as part of what her employer says was a camaraderie-building exercise will get $500,000 in damages.
The best part is how she had to grab her ankles and they said, "You've been a bad girl," while they beat her with a competitor's yard sign.
Uh-huh.
You should try that at Wells Fargo, Scott. Just, you know, like some woman doesn't know, close enough accounts, she doesn't open enough credit lines for people, you give her a good flogging.
Well, she got damages for emotional distress, pain, suffering, past economic losses, and future medical bills. They also agreed that Anaheim-based Alarm One acted with malice, and they rejected the claim that the spankings amounted to assault, though.
Yeah, but it was sexy assault.
Jurors wanted $1.2 million. Employers were paddled with rival companies' yard signs as part of a contest that pitted sales teams against each other. The winners poked fun at the losers, throwing pies at them, feeding them baby food, making them wear diapers, and swatting their buttocks.
How did the conversation happen where they told a guy he had to put on a diaper and wear it around the office? How do you even bring that up with somebody?
It sounds like something from The Office, doesn't it?
It really does.
No reasonable middle-aged woman would want to be put up there before a group of young men turned around to show her buttocks, get spanked, and called abusive names, and was told it was to increase sales and motivate employees, said her lawyer, Butch Wagner.
Third prize is you paddled.
Lawyers for Alarm One said the spankings were part of a voluntary program to build camaraderie and not discriminatory because they were given to both male and female workers.
Well, that makes it okay.
This is being done for one reason and one reason only. Money, said Poncho Baker, the company's lawyer.
Poncho Baker.
It's Poncho against Butch on this one.
Poncho and Butch.
Alarm One officials ceased the practice in 2004, the year Orlando sued. Another employee complained about being injured, according to court records.
Okay. This email says, if it will make her feel any better, Sarah can move in with me. Tell her to bring lots of batteries. It's 503.
I'm not being spoken to right now.
I won't read any more of these emails then. Let me close these 70 emails that I just opened that seemed amusing up until a second ago. It's 503-733-2970. 503. Why? I get the weirdest email. Look at this huge Komodo dragon. It's not making any sense. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now. Oh, wait, hold on. I think I have a theme song here. Wait, hold on. And, I think I've got a theme song for Scott Daly, and here we go.
This has been our Rick Ellison Guarantees. Copyright,
okay.
2006.
No, that was, no.
Rick Ellison Show.
No, that was not the, no. All right. Hi, Scott, how are you?
I'm well.
Let's welcome now to the,
have something for him.
Let's see. Welcome to the, Rick Ellison Show. Let's find out.
Love the song.
There you go.
When the fighting never ends, hell.
Does this song have extra pointing to you now, Sarah? Do you? Are you? Do you feel like Michael Bolton is singing right to you?
You know, I celebrate the entire Michael Bolton collection.
Yes.
Can we listen to this for a second? I don't remember when I was in love. When I had love.
This is the part in the video where Nate's walking through your apartment, like, you know, and he's like rubbing one of your shirts against his cheek as he remembers your perfume. And he's wearing like a long shirt with the cuffs open. And a blazer that doesn't match. Because Michael Bolton's right.
Does he have long flowy hair too?
Yeah, where Nate's got a long blonde mullet.
And his hair is blowing in this fan as the fan's on in your house.
And then he does that arm gesture as though he's doing pull-ups. Like he's chinning up somewhere.
Okay, you made me feel better.
Really, Michael, it's not me. It's Michael Bolton that's making you feel better. No, I'm the vessel.
It was the blonde mullet clad Nate doing chin-ups.
Best image ever. And... okay. It's 503-733-2970. Scott Daly, how are you, sir?
I am well. I've been busy. I was in Vegas last week. I went to Seattle this week. I went to go see one of the best groups ever perform in Seattle this last week.
Wait, hold on. Duran Duran.
No, sir. Massive Attack.
Oh, with Tricky. That's that group that you brought on the show one time, and it was filled with F-bombs.
No, that was Tricky. Oh, yeah. That was Tricky.
Here's my top five artists that are filled with profanities that I didn't edit out.
That was Tricky's solo album. Tricky used to be with Massive Attack, but Massive Attack, he's not with them anymore. This is the group I saw them with originally. And this is the first show of their tour in Seattle, and they're only doing three shows in the U.S., and so I took the chance to go to the Paramount Theater. Have you ever been to the Paramount Theater in Seattle?
Paramount Theater's a great place.
What a fantastic venue.
I saw
the Indigo Girls.
There a few years ago.
The
Indigo Girls.
Wait, what?
Who went with you to that one, Ray?
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, fantastic venue, great show, good times.
Okay.
So I've been traveling.
Yeah,
but things are good.
Everybody's gone to Vegas. You went to Vegas. Scott the engineer went to Vegas. No, or rather, Sean the engineer went to Vegas. Scotty J was just in Vegas. Everybody on earth has been
in Vegas. I had the best drink ever in Vegas. I had chilled Patron tequila shots.
Really? Is that in that bar where it's made of ice?
No, that's in Mandalay Bay. This was at a bar in the Paris.
That's that. Okay, there's a Matt Peterson who tells about that bar where it's like the whole bar is 30 degrees and the bar itself is made of ice.
It's called Red Square. It's right outside of Mandalay Bay. There's a replica of the Lenin statue.
Have you seen The Wind by any chance? Is that new Steve Wynn? Is it amazing?
It's a beautiful, beautiful hotel.
Where's your preferred? I know this is turning into that talk show in Primary Colors. Do you stand on 16 or do you hit? Where do you stay when you go to Vegas?
Well, this time I stayed at MGM, but my preferred place is Mandalay Bay. They have a new extension called The Hotel where it's all suites.
Right.
TV in the bathroom on the wall for crying out loud. Beautiful, beautiful.
I got to get back to Vegas.
Vegas, I love that town.
Vegas.
You know, 3 days is about enough.
Vegas time is not like normal time.
No,
you're in Vegas for 3 days, you want to die.
And I swear, I think there's something in the air in the casinos that don't cause hangovers because I was drinking heavy.
Well, there's always
I woke up the next morning feeling great.
That rumor that they put extra oxygen in the casinos.
Very strange.
Because extra oxygen makes your alcohol absorb faster, but it keeps you playing longer. Do you gamble when you get there?
Keep gaming. I do.
What do you play?
I play Let It Ride. And I just recently learned Pai Gow, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, Pai Gow, the poker. Pai Gow poker is somewhat. Is it Pai Gow? Somebody told me, I think it's Pai Gow. Somebody told me that that's the best odds in the casino. It's either that or three-card poker.
I learned three-card poker, too. Well, the thing with Pai Gow is you can play for a long time because you push a lot.
Right.
When you win, the odds are okay, but you push a lot, so you can stay at the table for a longer period of time.
This is one of those moments where Sarah just
goes away.
Nodding.
Yeah, I still want to get to a Texas Hold'em game in the casino. I still get to play Texas Hold'em.
Oh, dude, I've done that, and it's great, though, because you always end up with just, not that I'm some great poker whiz.
Right.
But
I'm taking you down a little bit.
Shut your head about what you've done. Bastard. Yes. I'm always the guy at the table who's not drunk.
Okay.
And at every poker table, at every Hold'em table in Vegas, and at any casino for that matter, because it was the way when I went to California, I went to, was it the Escondido or someplace? It was a casino. And there's always a couple of kids at the table who just turned 21, and they've been playing online. Or they've just been watching the World Poker Tour, and they're hosed.
Right.
And they're always all in! You know, and it's like they're
killed.
Oh, and you get killed. They totally, they're maniacs, but you can completely take them down with one good hand.
There were a couple sit-and-go games I thought about sitting in on, but I'm not...
The key is to not be intimidated.
See, that's the thing.
It's intimidating.
See those guys with those large stacks.
Yeah,
they've
all got the glasses and the stupid hats.
Yeah.
But you go to Vegas, the key when you sit down is to realize that at most of those big casinos in Vegas, most of the guys there aren't big poker players. Because if they were true players, they would be at some high rollers table that you're not going to play at anyway.
Right.
So most of the guys there are just some dude just walked in up the street. Everybody's fronting like they're all, Helmuth, and they're not. That's what I learned.
Speaking of that, I ran into Chris Jesus Ferguson at MGM.
Really?
Yeah, I was walking past, and I was not paying attention. I kind of bumped into him. I was like, oh, hey.
Really? That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Well, let's talk here about, we got this, the 10 most anticipated movies of the summer. This is Entertainment Weekly.
Funny that this came out today because our podcast this week of Film Fever Radio is our most anticipated film of the summer.
Isn't that odd?
Isn't that odd?
That you're here to pimp filmfeverradio.com, a podcast.
Amazing. Yes, indeed.
So we'll talk about these 10 most anticipated movies of the summer. And then we'll do Making a Scene as well, which we actually haven't done. We haven't done Making a Scene since we've been back on the air here.
Excellent.
And I don't think I have a music bed for it.
Let's give it Michael Bolton.
Yes. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
503-733-2970. Make Mims! Here's Making a Scene. What making a scene is, it's where we ask you to recreate on the air, without the aid of a script or other written coaching, a scene or section of dialogue from a film. We ask you to call up, and we ask you to recreate a scene or a section of dialogue from a movie on the air. And if you can do it, to our reasonable satisfaction, we will give you a ticket to Candidates Gone Wild, which happens Monday at the Roseland, which is fantastic, by the way. It's going to be music by the Retrofits. Sarah's going to be there. Byron Beck from the Willamette's going to be there. All the candidates will be there. They're going to be drunk. So it's going to be good times.
The candidates for governor?
No, for, what's it, city council? And
yeah, city council and mayoral.
But there's booze, too. So.
Oh, well.
It's 503.
Politics and booze. What else is there?
733-2970. 503-733-2970. So,
and we're on the honor system here for the... for the game.
Yeah, we got to trust that you're not Googling somehow.
Right.
We got to trust that you're not the you know, reading this off the whatever, the page, the whatever it is. So, anyway, so there you go. So there's that. It's 503-733-2970. If you can recreate a scene or a long section of dialogue from a film from memory. And I usually begin this by demonstrating, by doing it myself. And I forget what the one, there's one that I use. What is the one that I use? I used to do the Glengarry Glen Ross one, and then I used the Bluto speech from Animal House. You know, over, okay. Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Yeah.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And then they say, Germans, forget it, he's rolling. Hell no! And it ain't over now! Because when the going gets tough, cue music. The tough get going! Who's with me? And then he comes back in and he says, what the F happened to the Delta I used to know? Where's the spirit? Where's the guts? Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Bluto. We might get in trouble. Well, just kiss my ass from now on. And then blah, 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 blah. I can do all the rest, but I'm not going
to
show up.
A lot of dialogue I know is also from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh,
usually it's going to have to be edited a million times over. So,
yeah, don't even get me started.
No. Yeah, I can.
All right, so if you can recreate for us a scene or some dialogue from a film, you'll get a ticket to Canada's Gone Wild, which happens on Monday. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Should we break here?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to tell you what. We're going to take a little break here.
I think Sarah's going to cry.
All these lyrics are...
It's He's like ignoring me.
They were written just for Michael Bolton?
It is. No, wait.
Oh.
Maybe he's busy.
What a crappy day.
Maybe he's busy.
I can find a man to help him make you jealous. You know, make him jealous.
Oh, well, somebody's coming into town that he's not a big fan of today anyway, so...
Oh. Oh.
More after the break.
Nice. Listen to that. That to Rick Emerson guarantees. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. In the bathroom. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, we've got this. Rick, speaking of, I have one of these. While perusing the fine selection of adult toys with my husband at a local establishment, I found myself at the counter asking to see a cute purple toy. I was rather shocked when the skinny goth man behind the glass counter, wearing more eye makeup than I have in my entire house, said, I have one of these and I love it. I stood shocked. It killed the happy place I was in my head at the moment. I passed on said cute purple toy. All right, we're here with Scott Daly, FilmFeverRadio.com. We've got tickets to Candidates Gone Wild that will be given out here if you can recite a scene or section of dialogue from a film without a visual aid. And you are on the honor system there. It's 503-733-2970. And we'll talk about these 10 most anticipated movies. Don't ever forget, before the top of the hour, we're going to do Xbox Files, our new episode of that. All right, let's go to... Randy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, man?
Hey, Rick, how are you? Glad you're back on the air. The listener party was fun.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Can you... yes?
I didn't know there was a visual aid. You know, you couldn't use one, but I saw that OLCC picture. the mugshot, first thing that came to my mind was Rocky Road, Sloth, Love, Chunk.
Okay, hold on, let me look here.
Okay,
I don't know if that would count in the contest.
I see, and was looking at her pic. Okay, look at this woman. Now, I want you to look at this picture of Teresa Kaiser. Oh, she's in the front of the Oregon. I know, everybody said, that was Tim's first. Tim goes, oh, Lord.
It looks like a after photo, after an embalming or something.
Okay, Teresa Kaiser from the LCC. My first response when I first saw her picture yesterday, my first response was, wait for it, fat stupid hobbitses. Look at her face. Look at her face.
My precious.
Stupid Trixie, it lies to us. Yeah, totally. That's
a little eerie,
that's
Rick.
That's totally what I pictured. So, no.
The reason I thought of that is because the right eye is so much lower than the left eye.
Well, yes, it is unpleasant. Well, you know what? Just for that observation, we'll toss you a ticket.
And using her mugshot as visual aid doesn't count. We're talking about going to Google, finding
the
script.
Yeah, what I mean is you can't read the script off the page, basically. Yeah. All right, but we will toss you a ticket. So, hey, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J will get your information, and we will have this ticket for you, and so forth, and blah, blah, blah. So, Scott, Randy, I'm going to put you on hold. Scott, here's what you need to get, because I know you're listening to me. Scott, get his name, phone number, and I don't know, like social security number, whatever, and tell him he's got to pick up the ticket at the building on First Avenue, which is a 2040 Southwest First, the KFO building. All right, there you go. We're here with Scott Daly from FeverRadio.com. All right, so we got this list, the 10 most anticipated films of the summer, and I'll just kind of burn through these. Number 10, this is according to Entertainment Weekly.
Okay.
And then you guys have got your own list.
Yeah, we have our list that'll be up today at about 6 or so.
Number 10, Clerks 2.
Yeah, I you know what?
I don't know how to feel about that.
I finally saw an extended trailer of Clerks 2 last night, and I'm excited. And we talked about this on our show.
It looked funny. I saw the internet trailer, and it looked funny.
Yeah, the internet trailer's better. But the thing is, this is what Kevin Smith does best.
Yeah, it's
it really is.
Camera pointing at a guy while he talks.
Yeah, I liked Jersey Girl. I'm one of the few folks who actually did like Jersey Girl.
I also did. Yeah. I liked Jersey Girl.
But Clerks, this is what he does best.
And, you know, there was, I saw that internet-only trailer. It was pretty profane, but
funny.
Who am I kidding? I'll see it.
Totally.
He's a guy who, he doesn't have anything left to prove to me. Because he did Clerks. He did Chasing Amy, which is his masterwork, I think. He did Jersey Girl, which I thought got a bad rap.
Yeah.
All of his other movies, even the bad ones, have good moments.
He doesn't need
to prove anything.
He's out having fun. And I was very fortunate to interview him a couple years ago up in Seattle. And so with that connection, I'm hoping we'll have something else this year for Clerks 2.
Excellent.
Because he loves the horror stuff. So
I'll go see it, yeah.
I'm all over that.
Number 9, Cars. That's the new Pixar film.
That's the new Pixar film. Funny thing about Cars is the teaser trailer, like before The Incredibles on the DVD, makes it look kind of fun.
Right.
But the trailer out there right now, the theatrical trailer, I don't know. I got two things going for it. One is Pixar. Number 2, John Lasseter, who did Toy Story.
Right.
So
he's the mastermind.
I'm kind of holding off.
It's got Larry the Cable Guy in it.
I know. And it's weird hearing Paul Newman's voice come from a car, too.
I don't know. It somehow seems to lack some of the charm that the other Pixar films kind of have. I just don't know how I feel about it. I really don't.
Jury's still. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number 8, most anticipated films of the summer, according to Entertainment Weekly, The Devil Wears Prada. That's a chick lit.
That's got to be.
Sarah, you must have read that.
I know nothing about that.
No, I didn't read it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's about the editor from Vogue, right?
I don't know. It's on Lars' coffee table, right? Lars. It's on our coffee table right now. My wife's getting ready to read it.
Yeah,
she really did pay for it, though. So.
I can't remember her name yet. It's based on that horrible woman that works at Vogue that everyone hates.
Is it like, so it's a Romana?
Is her name Anne Hathaway? I don't know
the woman from Vogue.
It's based on somebody, I think Meryl Streep.
Is it one of those, is it a Romana Clay, meaning it's a... somebody is supposed to be somebody.
Yeah.
It's like primary colors.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's. I mean, I know it's a big chick lit book because my wife is getting ready to read it.
Well,
now.
You throw in the word Prada in any title.
Totally. Yeah. You know, it's a great title.
Yeah. It's great.
Number 7, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
This is going to do well. I predict this is to be one of the big films of the year. One of two of the really, really huge films.
Now, they shot this back-to-back with the other one, right?
No, they shot this one and the third one back-to-back.
Okay. So. And they said the third one is what?
I don't know what it's called.
Something, something.
Yeah,
is it true that Keith Richards is in this? At first he was, then he wasn't, then he is, and he's not.
I believe he's going to be in the third one, make a cameo as Jack Sparrow's father.
Talking about the 10 most anticipated films of the summer, according to Entertainment
Weekly. I'm looking forward to it. I actually enjoyed the first Pirates of the Caribbean.
I put off seeing the first one for a long time because it was Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
And Joni made me watch it finally, and it was really good.
A, it's Disney. B, it's a film based off of a theme park attraction.
And it's Johnny Depp, you know?
Yeah.
And he's a funny guy. He's a great actor. And
he totally made that movie what it is.
Number six, Little Miss Dynamite. Lara saw this at Sundance, and she said,
Lara.
I know. Dude, it cost $10 to get a ticket. People act like getting into a film at Sundance. I went to see something at Sundance, and like they're all I shouldn't give this away. Tickets are $10, okay? You just go to the website, you buy the ticket, you drive there, you see the movie.
Right.
But it's like some quirky slice of life. It's sort of like this year's, what is it, Vernon, Florida, or Happy, Texas. It's one of those slice of life, kooky people in the big city. It's about poor white trash entering their daughter in a beauty pageant, blah, 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 and it's got somebody or other in it. Number five, The Breakup. That's Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
And this, it's about where they break up.
That's been teased for a long time. That's supposed to be out earlier this year.
It's about where they break up, but they can't move out because they both own the condo.
Right.
So they break up, but they're still living together.
And they're dealing with, you know, how do they break up their friends because all their friends are friends of the couple. And
right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Number four, most anticipated film of the summer, X-Men, The Last Stand. I didn't see the second one. I don't care.
I like the second one.
I don't give a rip.
This third trailer looks pretty good. And again, we talked about this on Film Fever Radio this week. I only know X-Men from the films. I don't know them from the books.
I know. I've never read an X-Men comic in my life.
Apparently, this film focuses on a lot of things that are real diehard X-Men fans are either going to love or hate.
Well, there's so, like 500 X-Men, though, isn't there? That's why the movies seem so cluttered. I'm the only guy I know that didn't like the first one.
Really?
Okay. Let's see. 10 most anticipated films of the summer. Number three. Say it.
Mission Impossible?
No. Oh. No, that's not even on the list.
Yeah. Really?
Who was anticipating Mission Impossible? Sarah, are you?
God, no.
Scott, are you?
I am just to see Philip Seymour Hoffman as the baddie.
I don't care. I don't know anybody who's anticipating that film. I haven't heard from one person who's like, I gotta see that MI3.
Okay, is number three then, Superman?
Poseidon? What about?
Poseidon?
Yeah, no.
Poseidon on there?
That's it.
Oh, The Da Vinci Code.
I've had it.
Oh, yeah, Snakes on a Plane, baby.
Snakes on a Plane, number three, which I think should be higher.
Wait.
No, Poseidon's not on here either, which, boy...
Poseidon looks lousy.
Do we need another... I'll see it. Two things. Andre Brower, who I love. And B, I got a whole thing about the water, and the trailer scared the hell out of me. Just seeing the wave and the boat tipping.
It's just more CGI crap.
I know. I'll see it. Snakes on a Plane, though, number three. So, I was talking to Court from KUFO about that. We bonded early and often. Because the Court and Fatboy show. And then when I say Fatboy, everybody thinks that I'm slagging the guy. That's his name. It's Court and Fatboy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And everybody's like, you shouldn't call him that. And I'm like, I was in a meeting with the guys, and I'm like, so, Court, so, Fatboy. So, I was like saying, like, hello, bearded lady. But they have this great thing on their site where they have a countdown. Like, X months and minutes until Snakes on a Plane. Number two, Superman Returns.
You know what? The trailer for Superman Returns, the teaser trailer, when that music starts playing.
Oh, yeah. Well, how do you not? You get chills.
Like,
I get chills now just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yes. I'm very excited for Superman Returns.
And they're doing the dialogue. They want to be good.
Yes.
They just need guidance.
Marlon Brando, my friend, from the first film.
First one.
So I've got high hopes. And we're going to have a special guest on Film Fever Radio when that movie comes out, directly related to Superman.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you tell us who it is? Who is it? Tell us.
He's the artist. His name is Pete Woods. He's the artist who is writing, who illustrates the Superman, the only Superman comics in existence out there right now.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
So that's the second most anticipated film. Number one, Da Vinci Code.
Number one?
Don't care. Not gonna see it. I might see it.
Number one above Superman?
You'll totally see it.
I might see it just for pop culture sake, and I like Tom Hanks.
And Ron Howard. I mean,
and Ron Howard doesn't make bad movies.
No.
Ron Howard has never made a bad film.
And it's got Ian McClellan in it, too.
Yeah, I suppose.
So that's going to be good.
So there you go. How does this differ from your list? Or should we guarantees that?
We should guarantees that.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. We'll find out after the break. We'll find out how this ranks against other anticipated... Here, just turn this up.
This has been our Rick Emerson Guarantees. Copyright 2006, The Rick Emerson Show.
All right, there you go. What?
I was thinking it's funny if you don't play the copyright.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sarah's doing the drawing her finger across the throat, like, don't play that last part. All right, we'll be back after this. We'll find out what the top 10 most anticipated films are according to FilmFeverRadio.com. What else? And, oh, we'll do the Xbox files. You got to do that for the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. So Rick Emerson Show, like us, the three world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. You stay right there. Back after this, 503-733-2970. You stay there. Back after this on Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family. Okay. Guarantees. It's 503-733-2970. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like, it's the three world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-blah. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Okay, we're all getting excited over this May Day parade.
Now, do you have the memo?
I do.
They put out a memo here at the coin tower where we work about, like, the building is in full-on lockdown on Monday, starting at, what, like 10 or something?
Yep, it's at DEFCON 1. The May Day parade will occur Monday, May 1st from 11 to 3.
Is it actually... I didn't even know when May Day was. May Day's May 1st? Is that the Russian Revolution Day or something?
When everyone dances around that pole for some ridiculous reason?
That's what I mean. What is... Isn't May Day some communist thing?
Yeah, usually.
I don't understand.
People who don't work anyway. Well, this year's marchers will include both labor and immigrant participants, so they say. And, of course, the usual assortment of regular stinking hippies. Early estimates indicate... Now, I don't know how they do this. The number of participants could reach 10,000.
Early figures taken out of just
like
a hat.
How do they do that? A shot from the moon?
I have no idea. They claim 10,000 people, but check this out. We got this memo distributed to us where it does say we expect it to turn hostile.
The Portland Police Bureau will have extra officers on duty to ensure an orderly procession.
Uh-huh, because anytime the police are there, you know that nothing violent ever happens. The police are there to keep order.
Indications are that this parade may turn hostile.
Uh-huh. I would like to encourage the police now to beat the participants in this parade, savagely and without mercy.
Mm-hmm. During this time, the building will be completely locked down until the parade passes the building, and your employees will need to carry their access cards to gain entry to the building.
Some guy with a henna tattoo tries to get all uppity with you, you just knock his teeth right out. I will swear to God you were at the movies with me.
If your employees do not have an access card, they could end up at Gitmo, never to be seen again.
They gave me, now look at this, I've actually got two. I've got two access cards, and even now with two access cards,
I only got one. So I'll get a worse beating than you because you have two.
Tim, you and I come in at the same time. I can use my coin card to get into the building.
Well, because...
Oh, wow.
And
I'm glad you're working coin.
Sarah and Tim normally get here around 10:45. They're now... no lie, the building people that come out, they're like, get here an hour early. They're like, we're going to be locking the doors and no one will be allowed
in. Are the building people paying us for that extra hour?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, well...
That's going on the timesheet.
They'll be busy with strip searches.
But, yeah, so it's a bad scene, man. They're like, Monday, everything is in lockdown. But we're right down here, so we'll be able to send somebody out to, like, look at the heathens as they march by. But we were going to do a business-by-business breakout of what's in this building that they might want to burn to see if we're safe. Tim pointed out that everyone likes Quiznos.
Absolutely.
So it's not like it's
a
Starbucks. We don't have a Starbucks in this building or McDonald's.
And don't give them trouble, otherwise you won't get your sandwich cooked.
Yeah, so...
And that's why people go to Quiznos. I like the brown rules. So don't give them a hard time.
Okay. So
there are no theaters here anymore.
I don't think we'll be burned.
Well, that would be a great mass detention center. Just bring them up the escalator.
Good times.
Maybe they could offer that to the police department. Seeing as we don't have enough money to keep the new jail open or even open it. We have an old theater up here that hasn't been used in quite some time.
Okay. So there you go. So there's thousands of people clogging the streets on Monday. Yeah.
So start lining up now.
Okay.
So not only are people striking on Monday, they'll also be packing the streets with a parade.
Yes.
It's going to be mayhem.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because nothing says social change
so
like a guy in a wizard hat hitting a drum.
And you cannot hear coverage on some radio station that's not terrestrial as we are.
That's
so
right.
Make sure you're listening live.
You think Bubba the Love Sponge is going to tell you about this?
Rick, I'm calling it now. We're calling Monday mayhem.
Oh, Monday, May him. That's fantastic.
Thank
Listeners,
you.
All our cell phones die at exactly the same time.
Oh, and now I don't have time for the Xbox thing. It's too bad.
Well, this is pretty exciting anyway.
It really is. I don't want people to think I'm endlessly dragging out the Xbox thing. I'm not. We need a longer show. We need like a 9-hour show to get all this stuff done. All right, so there you go. So be listening Monday. We got to get
friendly hippies galore everywhere.
Seriously, I urge the members of the Portland Police, do not take any guff from any guy who's wearing like a big Dr. Seuss hat. Like you see some guy, power to the people, wade into the crowd swinging your truncheons. I urge you now to break the bones of any hippies who give you any sort of a stinking
look.
So
you're specifying hippies here.
Now yes, hippies. Well, not me.
You do really.
I have a job.
There's going to be an odor of patchouli that's kind of overriding the entire city for miles.
I would like to tell you right now that I am part of the corporate media. I have bent to the will, and I am duly subservient to my corporate masters. Do not beat the people associated with the Rick Emerson Show. We are here to spread your propaganda.
We're here for love.
I, for one, welcome our new alien overlord. All right.
Oh, my God. No, we have too long of a show.
Seriously. Because we've all gone loopy again. Okay. No time to be fair to another call here. So I apologize. People calling to tell me about Mayday. I don't really care. It was just an excuse to talk about beating hippies.
Hey.
So, yeah, in lockdowns, everybody get here early. Scott Daly, got a couple minutes. Tease for us briefly what's on your top 10 list. Film
well, on our top 10 list are a few of the films that are mentioned here on your source, including Clerks and including Da Vinci Code. But we have a few other ones that are on there, too. And that's what we talk about. That's we call it our Film Fever Radio Summer Preview A-Go-Go, Part 1.
Okay.
Next week is going to be part 2.
No.
Wow.
Y'all
okay.
Excited for that? Come on.
Woo.
All right. You're not helping, you bastards.
Woo.
All of you.
That's
It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Aaron and I recorded the show last night. It's not up yet. It'll be up tonight around 6:30 because of the delay in the recording time. But it's the best darn sounding show you've ever heard. Much better than last week. Our technical issues have been fixed.
I'm sorry.
Are you sending me off to repair my broken relationship?
So I was just going to say, I mean, at Slack Moments, I'm just going to start playing.
Slack Moments, thanks.
I'm just going to start playing Michael Bolton. FilmFeverRadio.com.
Yeah,
the new
thanks.
Episode goes up when?
Doesn't matter.
No, it's
getting sassy.
You sit here during Slack Moments when I play Michael Bolton in the middle of my little thing. So,
it was, the only Slack moment was...
But you come here to hang out with us.
A go-go.
Yeah. Okay, well, a go-go was all Aaron's idea. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He wanted to say a go-go.
And it goes up when?
It'll be about 6:30 tonight.
FilmFeverRadio.com. See, I whore.
Yeah, thank you.
I pimp.
Appreciate it.
I'll put you in our top 8, Scott.
Thank you, Sarah Dillon. See, that's the kind of love I'm talking about right there.
What we need, though, is we need for you to pose with a nude, greased-up woman. With
okay.
a dog collar around her neck and a glove, and a man's glove up to the elbow, pushing the glove in her face to make her sniff it. That's what we need. And then I need you to become, like, self-righteously indignant about it when I point out that it looks weird. All right. Good times.
Sarah's over here.
Yes. Join us Monday when we are besieged by thousands of stinking jobless hippies complaining about something they don't understand. A problem they will never solve. And so forth. Like us at 3, world famous Bill Henry Show at 7. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who makes her own clothing. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop and Gary Baumgarten. Jim Roop will be here Monday to talk about the protesting about the stopping to something or other. Scott Daly, FilmFeverRadio.com. Coming Monday, Xbox Files and more. As always, don't let the bastards grind it out. Thank you for listening. Be safe, y'all. We'll see you on Monday. Bye. Listen to that
pose. Nice.
Yeah, bitches. Bye.